There was another time when the U.S. and Russia came together on Syria, perhaps more successfully. Back in 2013, they negotiated a deal for the destruction of Syria's stockpile of chemical weapons, WMDs. From the outside, it seemed like a sudden breakthrough.
It sounded like it happened spontaneously when Secretary of State John Kerry made a remark at a press conference that, the Syrians could avoid getting bombed by U.S. airstrikes if they'd give up all their WMD, but that's not possible, so that's not going to happen.
Journalist Kimberly Dozier writes about this in the Daily Beast.
Within hours, the Russian foreign minister seemed to seize on that and say, we could make that happen, and that's how the public found out about the Syrian government agreeing to get rid of its WMD. What you didn't know was that Russian and U.S. officials had actually been talking in secret for about a year, trying to figure out if the Syrians give us permission, how do we technically do it?
So, I mean, they had to come up with some solutions. And as you say, some of these solutions were worthy of Q, James Bond's hardware guy in 007. What were some of the challenges they faced and how did they deal with them?
It's illegal, actually, to transport these weapons across country lines. Mm. The way they have traditionally destroyed mustard agent and other weapons of mass destruction are by shipping them to large plants in the United States, and there are other facilities in Russia. So the problem was, all right, you've got to destroy this stuff in Syria or in the region. We can't take these massive factories that we have in Russia or the United States to Syria. So what they did is shrink the technology of hydrolysis. Basically, they water the stuff down until it's useless. And they put it in the back of shipping containers. And that's eventually what they used.
I'm curious. I mean, we just heard from Lise Doucette that Russia these days is calling the shots in Syria. What was Russia's motivation to do this with the United States at the time? Because haven't they wanted Bashar al-Assad, their client, to stay in power and isn't taking away his WMD, kind of taking away his power?
Very good point. Initially, they were not receptive until the U.S. threatened the use of force, the use of airstrikes, after the Syrian regime was found to have used chemical weapons against its own people in the Damascus suburb of Ghouta. Russia saw that its client state Syria was about to get hit. And then you saw this very quick behind-the-scenes negotiation.
Right. And that's what's really new here, is that the U.S. and Russia had been working behind the scenes. So I'm just wondering, given how rocky things are right now between the U.S. and Russia, can that 2013 partnership teach us anything about perhaps more successful relationship between the two countries?
I think what it shows is that Russia needs to hear that the United States would be willing to use force. Only then, I think, are you going to see any sort of move towards Russia making Assad step down.
Kimberly, what do you think would have happened if those chemical weapons had not been destroyed?
I asked that of the various officials I interviewed, and one of them, Tom Countryman from the State Department, said, when you consider that the attacks at Ghouta were less than 1% of the Syrian chemical weapons stockpile, and that killed 1,400 people, think of what could have happened if all of it had been used. It's a terrifying thought.
Kimberly Dozier writes for the Daily Beast. Thanks very much for your time, Kimberly.
Thank you.